A very special guest that we spoke to last week, and I want to continue the conversation. On the line from Israel is Rabbi Shlomo Ra'anan, the founder and director of Ayelet HaShachar, an organization dedicated to building bridges between secular and religious communities. Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us. Last time we spoke, you shared the exciting plans for a special Shabbat, the first of its kind, that was going to be held in the south of Israel this past weekend. How did it go? Can you tell me what happened?
Okay. So we were lucky to have more people than we expect. And, you know, some of the family are, we called it like the new Holocaust survivors from October 7. And they came and whispered to me that this Shabbos giving them really, really understanding the uniqueness of our Orthodox community, that in a way all our attention was just to make sure that each one of us will be completely respond with full responsibility to other Jews, meaning that the tragedy that's happening now, it's not the families, the Hatcher's family only tragedy, but it's our tragedy. In any sense.
Where did the Shabbaton happen?
The Shabbaton happened, we made it in the south, in a very, very unique resort. And we expect that 20 family from that involved with the war will come. And we had more, much more.
I think
that people need the unity, need the support, need to ensure that they're not by themselves challenging those difficulty experience.
Rabbi,
and
do you feel
that's the most that's the most important thing for them?
Do you feel a lot of the families in the South do feel like they're alone?
In a way, you know, I heard many times during the conversation, okay, we've forgotten. It's over. Now we have to deal with ourselves. I just a few minutes ago spoke with my friend from Kibbutz, Nir Yitzchak, and from Kibbutz En Ashlosha, and from Kibbutz Sufa. I'm driving now to a very important meeting that we Be'ezrat Hashem will have a unique event that our organization will give acknowledge and a deep appreciation for ladies that made a big change in their community. And we like to host it in right after Sukkot, the day after Sukkot. Ladies that quietly and sometimes lonely somehow their initiative in the community will bring them to a very, very nice and important result. And the those ladies make sure that the community will stay together. And
are these women from the communities in the south?
in the south, in the mostly in the kibbutzim of the south. Some of them lost a husband, some of them lost their children. And with all of tragedy, with all of their own tragedy, they face is towards a future and to the towards the benefit of their community.
Rabbi, it's really heartbreaking to hear you say that some of the people in the South, many of whom would be either have lost loved ones or would be survivors themselves, that they feel, I don't know if you said forgotten, but that they feel like now they're on their own. What more would they want Israel and maybe even Jewish communities around the world to do for them? What more can we do?
First, the most important thing is to come and visit and listen to them. If you happen to be in Israel, go and visit. Don't look for attraction. Don't look for the story. Look for the people and come. If you, for example, have a bar mitzvah, a bat mitzvah, a simcha, try to do it. If you do it in Israel, try to do it among this kibbutzim, among this community, the waiting, the sick for relationship with people. Second, just be ready to listen to their difficulty and show them, you know, that that you are really, really part of that.
Where do most of them live? I mean, from what I understand, they haven't been allowed to go back to their communities, and those communities are still destroyed.
It's right partially. Now Kibbutz Sufa is coming towards the end. Kibbutz Nir Yitzchak is coming. In 3 months, Kibbutz Nirim, Ein HaShlosha, will come back. So now is the time that the people returning to their community. But don't let them feel that this is their problem. You know, it's not that those kibbutzim that hit so badly had to deal by themselves. And we heard that the government are supporting, but it's not answer all the needs.
I'm curious to ask you that as well. What should the government be doing more of?
I will give you an example that we have like 300 architects that volunteer to help our initiative that we offer every family on Gaza border, on Lebanon border, that their house, in a way, it was damaged. And I said in a way, I will explain why. We offer them the service that they will have, like an architect, a designer, an engineer, all free. Some of the people, you know, the houses is not in a condition to come back. Some of the people, the house didn't damage at all, but they cannot come back since the terrorist came in. And emotionally, you can move back to the house. So we offer them, you know, to restructure the house, to renovate the house. They're sitting with the architect, with the designer, and the thinking. Some of them are afraid to come back to the home because the children room are, you know, not protect. They're not inside the house. They're outside room. So they're afraid that it's a higher risk. Rabbi, so we are open.
Last time we spoke to you, you also mentioned, and I wanted to ask you about it. It sounded incredible. Israeli girls, and I think you said like as many as 100, that wish to go on a date to meet soldiers who've been injured in service. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, we had a big event last week, exactly a week ago, last Tuesday, that there are 16,000 soldiers that injured during the war. I'm not talking about motion.
Just physically, you mean just physical problem. Injuries, yeah.
Physical injuries, 16,000. And some of them in a severe, they lost the organs. They lost the legs, they lost the hand, they lost their eyes, they lost the ability to hear. Many with a head casualties. And when they after they finish their rehabilitation and they come out from hospital and they're looking to start their life, they're not in the same condition that they came to the war. Now they're different in a way. And many of them complain that they have difficulty to meet with the girls to build their house, to return back to normal life. And we hear it from the soldier, and we mainly hear it from the parents of the soldiers. It can be that for 6 or 7 months, they never receive one phone call from a girl, or no girl respond. So we decided that we would try to help as much as we can. And we announced, and we have matchmakers and therapists and psychological staff, and of course MD that helps to understand exactly what the protocols and what the situation of the soldier, what the circumstance in 5 years, in 10 years. And we call the girls and ask them if any one of them will be interested to meet with a hero. And we have now over 1,000 girls that are ready to meet with these soldiers.
And do you find
the soldiers?
Please continue.
Yes, the soldiers not necessarily ready to meet with the girls, but we have now 100 soldiers and another 50 on the way.
Do you find that most of the girls? Do most of the girls come from religious communities, or are you looking at girls from right across the whole society?
Right across the whole society, we have no.
No, I know you don't have. I'm just curious what kind of girls are coming forward, because it's an amazing thing for a young girl to step forward and say, "I'm prepared to date and potentially marry a man who is injured." What drives them? Is it religion? Is love for Israel?
I think that this is appreciation and understanding first humanity. The fact that he lost a hand or even a leg or even two legs, that doesn't make him less
exactly
than regular boy. So he's still the same. And the one that understands that, we have difficulty doing the life anyhow. And they believe that the physical difficulty is not a big problem for the marriage. More important is the soul, is the what they accomplish, and those soldiers in a potential, they are very, very, very special boys.
Rabbi, thank you.
And that's a that's the proof that they really took risks alive to save other people. What do you need more than that?
No, you don't need anything more than that. The soldiers, as you say, are heroes. And the young girls, as you say, who, for whatever reasons, are mostly driven by humanity in wanting to build their lives with people who have given so much in the fight for Israel. But a staggering figure, 16,000 soldiers who were injured in this war, just this war, and that's just so far. That's Rabbi Shlomo Ra'anan, the founder of Ayelet HaShachar, who is very involved in bringing spirituality, meaning, and connection to the communities in the South that were hit during the October 7th. Rabbi, thanks so much for your time and for what you do.